Live on DAZN Worldwide, May 2nd and 3rd, Garcia versus Romero and Canelo versus Skull. Friday from 6 p.m. Eastern, Garcia returns in a history-making Times Square takeover. 24 hours later, Saturday from 7 p.m. Eastern, King Canelo faces undefeated Skull for the undisputed crown. May 2nd and 3rd, a knockout weekend of boxing. Pick one or go all in for only $90 exclusively on DAZN. Buy now at DAZN.com/boxing.
Kicking off another week here on Gwynn and Chris. Chris Hello, Tony Gwynn Jr. and Matt Scraby together in our Odyssey Palace studios. Got a full 4 hours for you today. Padres are idle. That's probably a good thing as Tony Gwynn Jr. gets himself settled in for the afternoon. I was going to say, before we start, you know, going into the doom and gloom department, which I have a feeling we will head in that direction at some point. Tony Gwynn Jr. looked absolutely spectacular on television this weekend. I wanted to open with that. My wife commented all three games, even Sunday when you had the Padre pullover on. Like she was totally fired up for the two suits you wore. Once Scraby gets his mic,
I forget what mic Tony's on every single
turned
week.
On. We can get a response
it's
from
the,
him.
No, see,
hi everyone.
Okay, there we go.
Nice to be with you guys.
Were you able to hear me?
Sorry about that.
Yes, I was able to hear you.
Okay. You looked great.
Thank you, sir.
I didn't
feel great. That's for sure.
That's right. You've been a little under the weather.
Yeah. That long, late night we had in Detroit, it caught up to me eventually. Thursday, I was in here. I wasn't feeling good with you guys.
Yes. You've been playing hurt. The last few days.
But please tell Miss Lori I said.
Well,
thank you
I
for
thought
the compliment.
She wasn't the only one. I mean, I was pretty impressed.
Thank
myself.
You, sir, for the compliment.
Well,
as
here's the thing. Here's the thing. You put on one of those, suits for Friday night, and you're buttoned up all the way, and everything's aces, and you look comfortable. Like, I never look comfortable when I'm dressed up like that. Everybody goes, "You look good," and I go, "I don't feel good." That's why I don't like to wear that stuff, because I never feel comfortable.
Well, that's in your head.
No, it's how I feel.
Well,
it's not in my head.
No,
I know it's exactly
how everybody's telling you, though, did you look good? Then
it makes up for it a little bit. But it's like if you're wearing a T-shirt that's way too tight, that's not in your head.
Listen, I think
the T-shirt's too tight. You feel restricted.
Oh,
there's definitely a mindset that you just have to accept that your pants are going to be on you a little bit.
A little bit
tighter.
You got a belt on.
You got a belt on. Yeah. I mean,
who wants to broadcast a game with a belt on?
No one. But that's kind of
<No one. laughs>
that's kind of what's required.
Well,
I think I know Don and Mud don't like to necessarily do it like that. So,
anyway, the broadcast booth looked good. Everything else, not so much. We will certainly get into what ails the Padres here as we go along. They obviously, as you know, were swept by Tampa Bay over the weekend. And a 14-3 start has dissipated now into 8 losses in the last 11 games. The offense has been, I would like to say, partly to blame, Tony, for the struggles, but kind of got to say it's been fully to blame for the struggles.
Oh, I didn't know where you were going there.
Yeah,
no,
I mean, the pitching,
it.
I looked at the pitching numbers.
You can't be mad at the pitching, man.
Here it is. The last 11 games, the pitching for the Padres, 3-8 record, 2.81 ERA. Bullpen, 1.71. Pitching's been fine.
Yeah.
So we'll take a look at what's been the problem with the hitting. I had some numbers that I delved into a little earlier today just to try to point out, where we need to pick things up. But I just didn't know, Tony, if you'd want to talk about the Padres after sitting through that this weekend. They didn't play great. I thought Saturday night especially, pop-ups are falling. They had a guy get picked off base. A couple of mistakes here and there. Yeah, Saturday wasn't great. Yesterday, I thought I'll be honest with you, I'm not trying to beg here, but Vasquez struck the guy out to end the inning. It was a perfect pitch. He walked off the field. Next thing you know, 2 runs score. So, those kinds of things are happening right now, too. But, we'll talk about this offense. But we could go in some other directions. We could talk about the great weekend that Shador Sanders had. Or we could talk about the great weekend the Lakers had.
Oh, you're being funny. I see.
I'm trying to be funny.
Or we could talk about the great weekend that STFC
STFC even lost this weekend.
Did anything go right?
The Wave is the only thing that held it down this weekend.
They
got a 3-0 lead win against
the Wave.
The Wave.
The Wave.
Not the weather.
No, the weather this morning was doom and gloom, though. Like, if you woke up, it was like dark.
It was.
Like 9 o'clock still. And I kind of thought, okay, this is the mood that we're in. And look, the Padres are in a scuffle, and this is exactly why we told everybody, Tony, when they were 14-3, love it, enjoy it.
I think you said that exact
thing. It's not going to last forever, and it hasn't.
Yeah.
You know, this isn't the end of the world. I mean, 17-11 is not where they would hope to be after that start, but it's still a good enough record to lead three of the divisions in baseball. Right now, one of the divisions is not good enough to lead is our division, but the team in first place, the Giants, are coming in for a couple of games here this week. And after a day off, maybe Luis Arraez is back in the lineup tomorrow. I've heard some talk of that. Perhaps Jackson Merrill could be back as soon as Friday when the road trip begins. So, you know, look, maybe help is on the way. And But we said it, Tony, even when they were sneaking out a few wins there, you can't, you know, win consistently at the big league level when you don't have all your big league players. It's right. Not, it's just, it's true.
Right. This isn't this, they don't, I mean, the depth that we talked about is more of a kind of hold it down until everybody gets healthy type deal.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'll just speak especially this last ring. I thought Saturday and Sunday's losses were disappointing because I didn't think Bebo was that good that day. I didn't think he was doing anything, you know, extraordinarily well. That's a guy that I've seen the Padres pick apart in a lot of ways. And that was when it started to seem to me that there was actual pressing happening.
Yes.
Like, and I thought the same thing with Littell yesterday. I thought they did a better job. I mean, Toddy, you know, was on base multiple times, and they just couldn't get enough done offensively. And
yeah.
I just think those two losses in particular, I thought, what's my man's name who pitched the first game for Tampa?
Oh, Boz.
Boz was,
no,
he was
well.
Lights out. He
no,
was
that
lights
was,
out.
That was, you know, and you lost 1-0. That was just a better pitched game.
Right.
You lost on an unearned run, which is frustrating.
Absolutely.
Also.
Absolutely.
But that's going to, you know, you lose a game like that. You were in the midst of a 30-inning scoreless streak, which hadn't happened, I don't think, for the Padres since like the 70s. So, you know, you got yourself out of that. But ultimately, you know, the numbers are not good. And I'm going to throw a few of them out here. Tony, and so that, you know, everybody out there can kind of pick and choose what they want to focus on. And I think the first one I want to point out is the guys that are filling in from the minor leagues up to the major leagues.
Right.
This is Wade. This is Gonzalez. This is Tirso Ornelas. This is Connor Joe Limited, and even a little McCoy. That group, minus Tyler Wade, who's done well.
It's going to be held up by T. Wade.
Yes, he's held it up. But the rest of these guys are hitting .145 with one double. So they've gotten nothing, basically, contributions from the guys that have come up.
That's without T. Wade.
That's without T. Wade. Okay. He's hitting .296 since he's been up.
Yeah.
So he's done his thing. The rest of the guys really haven't contributed. I want to throw in, though, that they're not the full blame. You
they're
can't
not.
Blame it all on these guys.
No.
Manny is in one of his, I don't want to say slump,
ruts,
but he's not in one of his, yeah, he's not carrying the team. He's 8-for-40 during the 11-game losing, or 11, it's not a losing streak, but 3-8. During the 11 games, he's hitting .200, one home run, and no RBIs in the last six games. Xander Bogaerts, I don't need to tell you, is scuffling big time. He's at .167. He doesn't have an RBI since April the 8th, and I know, you know, I'm just adding fuel to the fire by mentioning
this.
Yes,
you are.
But look, 3 weeks without an RBI, he's got to be squeezing the sawdust out of the bat at this point. And then the other one is the catching position between Diaz and Maldonado. During the 11 games, they're 3-for-35. One of the hits was Diaz's home run. Okay, so I'll put that in there. But they only have two other hits beyond that. So I asked.
Well, let's be fair, though.
Go ahead.
What was their numbers the previous 13 games?
Not a whole lot better.
They probably were about the same.
Right. They haven't been good the whole year. And finally, if you take out Tatis and his 326 average over the last 11 games, which is pretty good, the rest of the team's hitting .189.
Yeah, no,
that's everybody else over an 11-game span without Fernando. It's a lot of people are in on this, right?
Yeah, no, that led off our show.
Pre-game show. Yes, it
did. Tatis hitting .325.
Right.
Five extra bases, six RBIs. That was going into yesterday. He added a couple.
Yeah.
And then the rest of the team, as you said, .189, four homers,
nothing.
14 RBIs.
Nothing. So what do you do? I mean, first of all,
You
keep grinding. You're not taking Manny out.
Absolutely not.
Everybody wants it, but they're not taking Bogarts out. You might have to move him from the four hole for a little while to hope he can relax and start hitting the ball well. The minor league guys are doing what they can. They're up here. They're busting it, trying to help you win.
Yep.
One area that I look at is the catching position. Now, Maldonado, Diaz, they do what they do handling a pitching staff. I know that's why they were chosen. But can Luis Campusano be that bad defensively that we can't bring him up in a situation where everybody's 3 for 35? Just a thought. I'm not trying to manage the team. I'm not trying to general manage the team. But that seems like an area you might be able to get somebody in who can hit. Maybe he'll come up and go 0 for 20. I don't know. But I would take a shot there. And is it going to fix everything? Of course not. Everybody's got to contribute to start getting this offense going again. But you have way too many automatic outs in the lineup right now. And the guys that aren't automatic outs, as you alluded to, are probably pressing. And so that's what you've got right now.
Yeah. I mean, listen, Campy is having a good start to his season. You also have to think about what's in his best interest. Is it in his best interest to come up here and now all of a sudden be the guy that's supposed to spark
catching? Please come up and change everything.
I don't know that that's in his best interest. I think the part of the reason why he's down there is because they want him to develop some consistency. And pulling him up here now for the sake of, you know, trying to, I guess, kickstart an offense.
Yeah.
I don't know, is in his best interest or the team's best interest. So I don't know. The catching's part is the catching's part, and I've always felt like this is kind of where it was going to be. I don't think we expected Diaz of the two to be swinging, you know, as started off as slow as he started. That being said, listen, they're in a rut right now. There's just no way around it. You could excuse some of the losses they had on that road trip they faced. I thought some pretty good pitching. But as I said, Saturday, Sunday, I thought those were games that they were there to be had. And they weren't able to get enough offense. And I think what happens when you are in the midst of that 30-inning scoreless streak, inevitably you start trying to do more. You want to not have a zero up after an inning is over.
Yeah.
And that is just kind of what it's been. And so they'll have to – all that they can do at this point is keep grinding, keep going out, figuring out if you get – even seeing Luis's name in the lineup will be a nice boost if it happens tomorrow, going against a Giants team that's playing very, very well.
All right, we're underway. We'll tell you what's coming up on the show. 4 hours, Gwynn and Chris, happy to have you with us. Welcome to Monday.
Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello, Matt Scraby. Got some draft conversations to get to coming up.
We can talk grass, too, if you want. You got the Bermuda.
Kentucky Bluegrass. Yep.
Bent. Poa Anua.
I know a little bit about the grounds
crew. The grounds crew's been on point for the Padres.
They're always on point.
It looks good.
Shout out to Matt.
Way to go, guys.
Head guy.
For
the Padres grounds crew and the rest of the guys. They do a terrific job, man. Keeping that field, in my opinion, the best. Best playing surface in all of baseball.
Do they ever practice like running the tarp out like other teams have to do?
You know what's funny? I don't think they do. Maybe tarp out all that much, although they had to do it
years ago.
No, they had it on, what was it, raining? Friday?
Oh, I didn't know the tarp
rained,
went on the field.
It rained Friday or Saturday. No, it was Friday. It was the first day of the series.
Wow,
it rained, almost knocked BP out, and it took the Padres off. They didn't hit BP on the field because of it.
Oh, I had no idea.
Yeah. So I don't think they practice that much. But they do a good job, man. They really do. What was I going with?
I think practice is important on the tarp because you don't want to be one of those guys that runs out there and gets swallowed up.
Chris, you might know this.
That's
the first time I learned about having to put a tarp on, you know what, where it was? San Diego State University.
Really?
We had to do everything.
We were our own grounds crew.
Yes, we were.
And so, you know, when it rained, you get a call, and you know, when you're after your freshman year, you start trying to ditch that call. Like, oh, I didn't get it, coach. I was in class, so I couldn't help come out.
I don't know. I think Dietz had the power to pull you out of class. if it meant putting the tarp on.
Especially when you were going to school.
That's
for sure.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, isn't this the same guy who took a helicopter to a field one time to dry it out?
Yeah, I was not just once, often. Yeah, but to say it was like,
where did he get this helicopter
that's
from?
That's the thing that was amazing about Deeds. He had access to a helicopter,
just to dry off the
gravy. I promise you, dude. Just all of a sudden, he'd be like, hey, make sure you guys aware the chopper's gonna be here in like 15 minutes. And sure enough, the chopper would pull up and water would just come flying off the infield dirt. It was at the time, I didn't think nothing of it, but then as you start telling that story, and people are looking at you like,
he just randomly had a helicopter
come in?
That's kind of awesome.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
We'll move away from the Padres. We'll get back to that in the next segment.
We've got Padres pen pals. I'm sure there'll be some happy questions.
Yeah, so you'll be a chance to get whatever your feelings is off your chest in the next segment. But a lot went down in the NFL draft. For some. Not for some. In other cases. First pick was pretty much a done deal in Cam Ward. He went. That was one of the notable picks. But the talk of the draft was, what's going on?
I just find it hilarious. I turn to my right because I hear something, and the dude's reading, Chris is reading a newspaper.
I have my USA Today draft breakdown. It's on a newspaper.
He's got it ready, baby.
There's nothing wrong with it. It's just this very weird to see.
Can you just look into the camera, Scraby, as to why I'm pulling this up? Look at number 31.
You're making
Dolphins.
The camera go.
Dolphins, 31st best draft out of 32.
Wow.
The only team worse, according to this guy, is the Browns, and he gave them an incomplete
because he doesn't know what they're doing. Seven quarterbacks?
Right. So the Dolphins, in his mind, had the worst draft of any team.
The Browns, of course, were the team that ended up taking Shedeur Sanders in the fifth round. I thought that
the Browns did it right for a moment because they traded up in the fifth round to get him.
Yes. Yeah.
So I thought that was a good way to maybe send a message to a kid that had to feel like he'd been passed over for, 2.5 days? Hey, we kind of wanted you. We actually traded up to get you. I thought that was a good message to send until I realized that they had already taken a quarterback.
Yeah,
Dylan Gabriel. The Browns became the first team in decades to take two quarterbacks in a row without another team taking one. You know what I mean? They took a quarterback and then another one. No other team selected a quarterback in between Dylan Gabriel and Shedeur Sanders. That's pretty rare.
Yeah. I was about to say, RG3 and Kirk Cousins went in the same to Washington Redskins, but there must have been quarterbacks
taken.
Well,
I think one was the first round, one was the fourth round.
Yeah.
This was no other quarterbacks in between. And you've already got Joe Flacco, and you've got you still got Deshaun, floating around the
They have five quarterbacks. Yeah.
I mean, that could be one way to look at it. If I'm Dylan Gabriel, I might be feeling some type of way.
Like, why did you bother putting me in here?
I know I'm the higher pick, but you already had two ahead of me. Now you draft this dude behind me. I would be feeling some way, but let's get to the story of this. A lot of conversation about Shedeur, and was the NFL sending a message, and was whatever it was. I think honestly there is some fault on Shedeur and his camp in terms of what it sounds like. I wasn't there. I don't have details of what these interviews supposedly went down, but sounds like he didn't interview well in certain spots. The way they're writing about it now makes it seem as though he had a shot to go late in the first round with the Giants, had his interview gone better than it did, according to reports. At the end of the day, he got drafted. I don't know that there was some conspiracy to keep him from getting drafted early. It's hard to believe all of those teams said that he wasn't, you know, good enough until the fifth round. But that's what it is. What I did appreciate is when he did get drafted, he didn't seem to care that it was the fifth round. He was happy dancing nonetheless. And I think that just shows you that he wants to play football. He wants an opportunity.
Well, he's going to get the opportunity. The pressure is going to be, I think, somewhat immense on him, but I think he can handle that.
He's already dealt with that
right.
part of
the
it.
The question is, you know, just how good is he going to be?
Right.
And if he's good, everyone will pretty much forget where he was drafted. He'll just, you know, it'll be one of those every team messed up by passing on him situations. So he's going to get a shot. I think most people did not want to put up with what they felt might be a circus surrounding him. But secondly, at least 25 teams had no interest in him at all, because why would you want your backup quarterback to be the most popular story on the team? And he would have been, no matter almost anywhere he went, as a backup.
I just don't buy that. I think that's fugazi. I do. Like, you first of all, you get into camp and you're not even going to be getting the reps to be able to even do anything at that point to have to garner the type of publicity that he's getting now as a starting quarterback at Colorado. And not to mention, in terms of the headaches, I mean, there's been a lot of headaches that teams have decided to take on prior to Shador that they've had no problem doing. Now, if you didn't think that he was good enough, ultimately, that's really, really boils down to. In terms of the optics of it, the amount of attention it would have gotten, I'm just not buying that.
I really think, like, Shador's not a bad guy. He might, you know, he might be a little arrogant at times. He's not a bad guy, but NFL teams draft bad guys, in my opinion,
all the time.
So I don't buy it either that it was like a, well, we just don't know what we're going to get with him. I honestly have no idea why he dropped to where he was. Browns took him. They have five quarterbacks. They are Deshaun Watson. I think Kenny Pickett might be on his way out.
He's still there.
But Joe Flacco, Dylan Gabriel, and Shador Sanders. And the NFL has never let ego problems stop them from drafting anyone before.
It's helped them draft people.
That's why it was so confusing to me, because, you know, some guys need that ego component. He's Deion Sanders' son. What is he supposed to do?
Listen, at the end of the day, again, if it was on just the skill set and the teams didn't necessarily, I'd buy that. But I'm not buying the attention part. Now, the other thing that happened that kind of reared its head yesterday was the prank call that Jeff.
There was a couple of them, but one to Shador was the one that stuck out.
Well, that one stuck out because he's the one that slid. The other ones didn't slide. They were already there. You got that on the other side? Was that?
We'll talk about it on the other side.
Okay.
And then we have Padres pen pals as well.
Time police is on us. We got to go to break. More Gwynn and Chris on the other side.
You can look at it this way. They've lost 8 of 11. You can look at it this way. They've lost 4 in a row. You can look at it this way, they've fallen into third place in the NL West. But you can also look at it this way. They're still 9-9 since Jackson Merrill went down. They're 8-8 since Jake Cronenworth joined him on the injured list. Not bad when you consider you're missing two of your best, you know, offensive weapons. Hopefully Luis Arraez is back tomorrow. Hopefully Jackson Merrill can get back by Friday. There's some talk of both of those things happening. Padres, and I'm sure all the fans hope that that's the case. We will answer.
What are we, 1-5
without a rise?
Without a rise.
Yeah, that's a shorter sample
size. Listen, I'll say this. To me, his absence is the most noticeable because of how it changes the lineup at the top, right? You've seen Gavin Sheets hit second. You've seen Xander flip over to hit second for a game. He just brings he gives you the ability to keep some of those guys down in the middle of the lineup versus having to move one up.
Right.
And it shortens you a lot, in my opinion. I mean, listen, obviously Jackson is Jackson. But that piece, having a guy like Luis behind Toddy, who has been getting on base as much as he has, And this is, we haven't even seen the best of Luis, but just his presence in that lineup, I think, makes a huge difference.
Well,
obviously.
Yeah, and you said just his name on the card might make a big difference tomorrow night if he can play against San Francisco. The other good bit of good news, if there is any right now, next 2 days, you've got Nick Pavetta and Michael King.
Yeah.
You got your two, you know, guys are pitching the best.
The two best, right.
Are both going in the next two. And hopefully, you know, you get these two, then all of a sudden everything looks a little better. So, you know, hopefully that'll be the case. Tomorrow night is also your dad's rookie bobblehead night. And that's exciting. I know people are really, you know, want to get down there and get a bobblehead. Well, how about this? At some point during the show today, we are going to give you a chance to win a pair of tickets to tomorrow night's game against the Giants.
Got a chance to be one of the first 40,000.
You want to be one of the first 40,000.
And you better, because they're regularly drawing over 40,000
people. I know right now. I probably get hit up a lot less for tickets than you guys may think.
But tomorrow night you're getting hit up.
I'm getting hit up big time. Maybe not even for the tickets. It's just, can I get a bobblehead?
I was going to say, how many bobblehead requests have you had?
I've gotten far more bobblehead requests.
Now, do you have any pull, being that it is your family's name, that you could request like 20 bobbleheads?
Mrs. Gwynn. OG Mrs. Gwynn has all the pull there.
The original gangster,
the Mrs.
Gwynn.
The original gangster, Alicia Gwynn. That's right. Is the one that has all the pull there.
Okay. So everybody text her.
Yeah, text moms, because all I'm going to do is hit her up for the,
hopefully
the ones
you get,
I want.
Hopefully you get one before they're gone
100%,
from her.
100%.
All right. Here's how you're going to win the tickets. You're going to listen for this classic Tony Gwynn moment.
Set to Tony, fastball high, deep right field, up toward the right field, foul ball, that's fair, it's gone, and it is going and gone. Home run, Anthony Keith Gwynn, 4-2 Padres.
That was the one that went off the facade at Yankee Stadium in Game 1 of the 1998 World Series, as called.
That still gives me goosebumps.
By Uncle Teddy. Sure. And
I just remember Tony being in the stands, and there was someone talking trash to them, and then his dad hit the home run, and he was able to give it back.
It's one of my favorite moments in life.
Those moments don't happen often enough.
They don't.
But when you hear that highlight again, and Scraby is going to be in charge of this, so. Whenever he plays that over the next, it could be any time between now and 6 o'clock, right?
Yep.
Whenever he plays that highlight again, be the first person to call in. 833-288-0973. All right, Padre Pen Pals, but before that, we promised to wrap things up on the Shador Sanders prank phone call. Tell people what happened.
What's my man's name? The defensive coordinator.
Jeff Ulbrich,
former 49er, former brief Jets head coach.
Didn't go well for him.
No, it didn't. He is now with the Falcons.
Yes.
And so typically what happens is all of the NFL staff gets these numbers. They're the only one that gets it. So
phone numbers.
We didn't know this until after came out, which is probably why my man knew his time was up, coming up pretty soon, because they knew it had to come from somebody within the organization. So apparently not just Shador Sanders, but I believe a few of the other draft picks were also prank called.
Yes, they were.
Shador's got the most pub because they actually recorded themselves doing the prank to Shador.
Which is the dumbest thing you could ever do.
It's as we know, it's about the viral moment. It's about, you know, making yourself famous somehow. And he's going to take these lumps, but guess what? His name is out there forever now. Mission accomplished for him at this point. That being said, it led to, I think, there's going to be some type of... It sounds like the NFL is investigating. I don't know what they're going to end up being able to
do.
Well,
they're probably going to be a little less less giving with these phone numbers in the future.
No doubt about it.
I would think.
As it was happening, I think... Shador and his brother Shiloh were live streaming, and he said, "Man, he just got that number. There's no one else has it,
right,
except for." So, you know, it just kind of matriculated into what we found out was some prank calls, and it wasn't just Shador. As I said, it was a couple other guys too as well. So,
well, I mean, the whole thing is so stupid. And if you're Jeff Ulbrich, I mean, do you think he's going to face penalties from the NFL?
I would see it. I would.
What, that his kid got a hold of the phone number?
That's what
I would think, that you have to keep that stuff under wraps. I mean,
well,
it would be hard. I can't see a
sounded
scenario.
Sounded like his kid went in and found a notebook and opened it up and looked in it.
An so unopened, an open iPad is what it said.
Yes, it was an open iPad. But J-Mac has a good issue or good
point
statement. My issue, thank you, Tony. Issue with this is that it has happened other years and now it's an issue. I think it's different because this was an official NFL phone number.
Who cares that it's happened in other years? It should have been an issue in those situations. We just didn't hear about it.
I think
that's
Cooper DeJean maybe got it had it happen to him.
Either way, we didn't, I'm saying, it wasn't put out for the masses for us to understand what happened. So, I mean, just because it happened in the past and we missed it, I don't think that it's any less that we shouldn't be talking about it. Like, ultimately, this is supposed to be a moment that's a good thing for him. Even if it is in the fifth, sixth, seventh round, still a moment that these guys are looking forward to, and have it kind of poo-pooed in some ways. It's kind of, I can see why it's irritating.
This is evil.
Again.
This is evil.
Shador didn't, and according to the statement that Jeff Albrecht's son put out there, he said him and Shador talked, he took his phone call, he was able to kind of speak to him. So we're the ones on the outside making a big, I haven't heard Shador say anything about it at this point. I don't think he should either. But nonetheless.
They're saying on the chat, it was an amazing troll. Admit it. I will never condone trolling because I'm not a troller. Well, to you guys I am. But
it was an amazing
I don't like stuff like this because it made me crawl out of my skin to watch this video.
If you think that's an amazing troll, then, good for you.
Good
point. That says a lot to me. Anyway.
Chris, any thoughts on the trolling?
No.
Okay.
PPP.
Yeah.
I lose it every
PPP.
Single... Oh, there it is.
It's time to ask the experts, Padres fans.
I was hoping maybe you can bring a little insight into it.
Write us, tweet us, Facebook us, send a carrier pigeon for Chris. He thinks they're cute. Aww. Padres Pen Pals begins...
Hurt the pelota big time.
Now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, as you guys know, the Padres have not had a good go of it as of late, and Padres pen pal questions, I had to carefully craft these because...
You know what I want you to do moving forward? When you get...
Sorry.
Is you all right?
I had a brain... I almost freaked out on the board. Yes, what's
When we get to these type of times, I want you to get it... uncut and raw. Just bring it in here.
You
don't need to go through them and cipher through. Bring in the most hateful ones. I know there's a bunch of them.
You're asking for it.
I don't think we could plan on being here often, but we have one
true.
Of these stretches where they haven't played well.
Let's start with the one where they blame Tony Gwynn Jr. for being on television.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I got that in my DMs yesterday.
Fault.
Yeah,
it is
they've
your
lost
fault,
that series.
I think
it is Tony's
my my reply was, you might be right. But I said, it may be you, though, because the gentleman was older than me.
It also might be you.
I was like, you've been watching
this
team
longer
than I've been on Earth. So, at that point, is it me or is it you? He also laughed at that. He agreed that it could be him. So,
you got him.
I did.
You got him, Tony. All right, here's the first one, and this one was actually very nice, so I didn't have to tone it down a little bit. But at this point, I don't even really care what the reason for not spending in the offseason was. I think AJ did a good job with this team and what it seemed like he could work with. After nearly 30 games in, with guys being on the IL, depth has been tested, and depth was there until Luis Arraez became the third everyday player to go on the IL.
Yeah.
My thought is these guys are going to come back, and the team will be back to normal, but... Tony, do you think this stretch has told the front office they need to make a trade to bring in a more reliable bench piece?
I don't know. I think, first of all, it's a great take, but I think he kind of contradicted himself a little bit with the question, right? He said the depth was fine until the third everyday starter went out.
Yeah.
First of all, if three everyday starters are out for a good portion of the season... I hate to say it.
Think about the Dodgers losing Ohtani, losing Mookie and Freddie Freeman. They're not going to win.
First
many
of all, you pick the three best of the bunch. That would be like
you just pick three Hall of Famers.
I mean, Jackson Merrill, Jake Cronenworth, and Luis Ariz are huge parts of that.
Is
team.
That the same as they're Jackson Merrill, Manny Machado, and Fernando Tatis Jr.?
All right, I'll go back.
Okay,
here.
So anyway, my point being, if you're missing three really good starters, no matter what team you are, and it's a long period of time, your season might be cooked. I don't think there's any other way to say that. Now, I don't anticipate that. We're getting these guys back. I think there's always going to be room for improvement as the season goes along. It is April 28th. I was going to say 7th. April 28th. and it's too early. But to his point, I think it does bring up, it does open your eyes that you may have to address that part of the team at some point.
Chris, do you think this recent stretch has told the front office they need to bring in a more reliable bench piece?
Well, it's obvious that AJ Preller and the whole organization messed up by not bringing back Donovan Solano, not adding David Peralta, even though no other team in baseball seems to want him.
Yeah.
You know,
which is crazy to me.
Yeah, it is. But, you know, changing out those bench pieces for the ones they selected. No, that's Monday morning quarterbacking.
I was going to say, Donovan Solano is hitting 114 right
now. Of course he is. What I'm saying is that's Monday morning quarterbacking. Stop doing it. The bench pieces that they went with were 14-3 when they were on the bench.
Right.
That's just as simple as that.
Right.
They're supposed to be on the bench. They're not supposed to be starting every game.
I think Kevin made this point in one of his recent articles,
AC.
Right?
Or,
yeah, sorry. Kevin Acey made this point, and that is you become a bench player, role player, however you want to cut it, because playing every day doesn't suit you. It's not, doesn't make you perform at your best. That's why you have guys who can play every day and be consistent enough. Listen, I wasn't one of those guys. And so, you know, that has to, when you get thrown into the starting lineup on an everyday basis as a, you know, role guy or a bench guy or a utility guy, it could end up looking like this sometimes. And that's where it's at right now.
All right. Let's get to our next pen pal. Sort of new to this baseball thing, but I wanted to ask what a few things mean. Chris, you're going to be the first in this one. When someone says a player is pressing, what does that mean? I get it means they're trying to come through, but can you explain it so a learning baseball fan like me can understand?
Gotcha.
Well, let Tony go because he played the game.
I think what happens, you know, when you're at your best, you have no clutter in your head, kind of just out there. I don't want to say you're just out there playing. You're freed up. You're loose. And you're able, because of that, you're able to kind of think clearly, see clearly, make proper decisions. When you start to press, typically what happens is you're no longer clear-minded. You got a lot of different things going on in your head as you're trying to, and then on top of that, you're trying extra hard. You're swinging a little bit harder. You're squeezing that bat a little bit tighter. And you may take some risks that you normally wouldn't take because you're trying to come through in that particular case. And it doesn't, baseball is a sport where when you're doing that, you're trying harder and trying to force the issue.
Seems like it happens worse in baseball than any other sport.
I think it does.
Yeah.
I think it does. And it doesn't just show up at the plate. It shows up on the bases, trying to get a bigger lead, trying to leave a little bit earlier. So you can make sure you're there, an extra 90. You throw to the wrong base because you're trying to make sure you're trying to cut a guy down. It pops up in a number of different ways, not just offensively. But that's my best explanation.
Anything to add, Chris?
Not really. I think in everybody's walk of life, you want a clear head to perform your best, no matter what you're doing, honestly.
Yeah.
And I know the last month of Wednesday night softball, I don't even like stepping in that batter's box. I struck out that one time. I haven't come out of it since.
You're still domed up,
I
huh?
think of everything in there. And then I go back and I go, what was I doing? driving me crazy. So I totally get it.
Was it the social media post of you striking
out? Yes, the fact that they put it up on social media did not help.
They put it up on social media?
Yeah, that's where, remember we saw him striking out? It was some random group that records their games and then put up, out of everything, Chris's strikeout as the thing.
Didn't help.
All right, so Tony challenged me to get some of the worst things out there, so I went through my DMs and I got one.
Let's go.
And I had to change some of it because it was not radio friendly. Xander Bogaerts.
Do we go with the
No, because this is a San Diegan. Xander Bogaerts is so bleeping bad, and I can't see this dude look like he's really enjoying that $25 million a year he's stealing from the Padres. When is it time to admit fault and bleeping move on from this garbage signing? I can't watch this anymore. He can't hit out of the infield. He can't make a throw. For all I know, he can't even bunt. He's got two errors in 2 days. This dude is bad, and he needs to be off the team. And don't tell me they can't trade this contract.
Trade his contract.
And that's basically what it is. But
yeah.
I think they're asking... I think they're asking, is this what we're getting?
But what's the... Yeah, there's no question.
There. That was a statement towards me. So I'm going to ask the question.
I love that he DM'd you that.
I get a lot of these, actually. And it's a lot of Xander Bogaerts trash right now. Yeah. Like, people are not a fan of his. But, Chris, is this the Xander that we should just get used to?
No, and I think he'll end up getting closer to the Xander you got 2 years ago when everybody complained. And he went 19-19 and hit about 270. And everybody thought we, you know, got hosed then with the contract. I do think for the moment, but Mike Schilt has a better handle than I do. I might drop him down to 7 in the lineup for a little while. But the problem is there's nobody to put in there now.
He doesn't have that to his
option right now because people aren't healthy. But, you know, Merrill comes back, Jake comes back, Arise comes back. You can bat him 7th for a while and let him hit his way out of it. He's too good. Look, he's not going to be the 33 home run guy that he was, but that was only 1 year in his career that he even did that.
Yeah. He's in a totally new ballpark.
He's in a major way right now. I thought the craziest thing that showed it was him, you know, running over Iglesias on a pop-up.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
That's right. He's trying to do everything, and you can't do it that way.
That's a great example. I'll just add that. There's no getting around it. Xander did not play well that 3-game set. He had a rough series for sure. I think at the end of the day he'll be about where he was 2 years ago. But he's just going through a tough spell right now. And as Chris mentioned, there's not really a lot of options for Mike Schilt because everybody's hurt, so he can't really move him in the lineup.
Baseball is an extremely emotional sport.
If you go day to day like everybody else seems to be doing,
it's hard not to. This society is not built for the rigors of a baseball season.
It isn't now. You're right.
Really quick. How do you guys deal with doomers? One of my friends is a Padres doomer, and it was nice when the doomers had nothing to say. Now they're popping out of whatever crypt they were living in for the past few months. Tony, what's the best way to deal with a doomer?
Just roll your eyes.
Just walk away.
Just roll your eyes. Pat them on the shoulders. Like, we'll be all right, man.
that infuriates doomers.
I know it does.
Chris, how do you deal with doomers?
I join them.
You become a doomer.
Yes, you become a doomer.
So they're like, man, Xander Bogaerts is trash. And Chris goes, yeah, he's trash.
He's horrible. Yeah, he's never going to get another hit again.
Oh, I see what you're doing.
He just jumps in with it.
I see what you're doing.
That's what I would do.
That's funny, actually.
Thank you.
I could totally see Chris doing that. Yeah. Xander Bogaerts is trash. And this guy's like, I like Xander. Oh, yeah, me too. I like Xander.
Yeah, right. You give people a little of their own medicine. They get uncomfortable. All right, we got the Daily Gambit heading your way next. There was other events this weekend, thankfully. We'll take a look at that on the flip side.